If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches presents the 2015 Pastors and Preachers Weekend Workshop. This two-day event intends to equip preachers to deliver clear, effective, and expository sermons to their listeners. This year's presenters are Bishop Keith W. Reed Sr. of Sharon Baptist Church, Pastor Clement Lupton of Beloved St. John's Evangelistic Church, Dr. R. Todd Mangum, Academic Dean of Biblical Theological Seminary, and Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Topics include the discipline of preaching, preaching Christ in the Old Testament, and preaching in the Black Church. The Pastors and Preachers Weekend Workshop will be held on Friday, July 17th and Saturday, July 18th. If you are a preacher or desire to preach the Word of God, you do not want to miss this event. Register now at eventbrite.com by typing BDIFC in the search bar or by calling 215-885-2585. Let Jesus Christ be praised.
Somebody said to me once, do you pray before you go on a plane? No, I don't pray before I go on a plane. Well, why not? Don't you want God to protect you? I already took care of that. It's not all of a sudden I got to have a special prayer. Lord, give me traveling grace. What's traveling mercies? Lord, you didn't give me permission to go, so give me traveling mercies. It's like saying grace over chitlins. Why are we doing this? God, give me traveling mercies. Give me why? I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying to a pragmatist, why is that necessary? My life is already in his hand. Did you ask for traveling mercy when you went to ShopRite? And Lord knows you need protection over there. You walk through ShopRite, one eye on your cart, the other eye on your bag or your wallet, and the third eye out the back of your head. You ain't praying and calling on God. Shall you go that plane? Praise God, I need God to watch over me. But you didn't pray in the cab ride to the airport. Only time I ever called on God in a conveyance, a cab or a car, is when I was in New York City. He was bringing me back from Brooklyn. And I said I had a train to catch. And I told him what time the train was leaving. He said, sir, no problem. He said, just hold on. I didn't know what I was getting into. He was flipping me around in the back seat of that bad boy. I was calling on the Lord. I tried a shot at Mary, Joseph, Jesus. I said, Lazarus, if you can help a brother out. I swore. I said, I'll never get in another New York City cab again. He was in the far left lane. We need to go over to the right lane. He just pointed the car and went. Now, I'm an aggressive driver, but that brother, Lord, when I got out the car, I said, here, just take everything I got. Feed your children for a year, but you need help. I prayed and I prayed. I got to the Penn Station. I said, Lord, I ain't even asking you to get me home safe on the train. I don't care if it crashes. That was absolutely the worst ride of my existence. I had forgotten faith, hope, and love. I forgot everything. I was, Jesus! And I said it out loud. They had the little glass divider. Yeah, Jesus! You run into situations where you wonder, is God there? I don't know. I like to think he was in heaven laughing at me. I didn't tell you to go to Brooklyn. Enjoy the ride. What you screaming about? You pay money for this at Universal. How's Space Mountain looking to you now? The word is what sustains us. The word is what keeps us moving forward. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 43 and 40 through 45, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Well, beloved of God, what would keep us from hearing the word? He answers his own question and says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. My friends, please hear this. There is no truth in the devil. Even when he tells you something that appears to be true, he's a liar. Amen. Now I need you to process this. What is the devil?
He's a liar.
What is he?
A liar.
What is he?
A liar.
So that means everything he says is a what?
A liar.
So therefore, in order for you to be successful in fighting against the devil, one must use just simple strategy. If the devil speaks to you, it's a
lie.
So that means whatever he says is a
lie.
Because he is a
liar.
And as long as he's telling you a
lie,
then the opposite must be
true.
So if he tells you that you are not a winner, he is a
lie.
So therefore, you must be a
winner.
It's simple. You don't need to say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you, the blood of Jesus is against you." When you recognize he's a
liar.
So when he tells you you're going to die, you should rejoice. Why? Because you are going to.
Yeah.
Because he is a
liar.
And I have faith in what God says, not in what the devil says. But many of us believe the devil. Why? Because he's our father. My father says, "I'm healed by his stripes." The devil says, "This thing's gonna take me out." Whose child are you? What shapes your belief system? What shapes your belief system? What five things? Go. One, evidence. Two, association. Three, tradition. Four, intuition. Five, authority. Your faith is fractured or supported by those five things. Your belief system is under attack. Listen carefully. Not your faith. Your belief system is under attack. Let me show you. Turn to the book of Acts. We're almost done. No, we're not. I ain't lying. Watch this. Acts chapter 27. Verse 13, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing from there, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." Euroclydon means typhoon. Those are gale force winds of 180 miles per hour or greater. Euroclydon was a storm that originated up in the Bering Straits, and it comes down across the Caucasus Mountains and sweeps right into the Mediterranean, picking up a speed along the way. It is a typhoon. It wrecks ships. "When the ship was caught and we could not bear into the wind, we let her dry. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ships, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, they strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest should lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them." And I'm going to read it not in the archaic, but I'm going to read it to you out of the straight colloquialism. You should have listened to me. I told you so. "They could have spared themselves all of this turmoil, but Paul had warned them that there would be danger in verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter. But yet verse 11 is the key. It is the pivotal passage in this entire story. For after Paul makes his case in verses 9 and 10, it says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." God and I are wrestling with realities, not wrestling in an adversarial way, wrestling to change my way of thinking into his. He is convincing me that the things that I thought previously were wrong, and my applications of those principles were wrong. So one day as I'm driving down the Schuylkill Expressway, I'm headed into Center City for meetings, and driving down the Schuylkill, I'm singing in my praise and worship music and my hymns. I remember that day because I was playing the Soul Stirrers, Miles. I had the Soul Stirrers on. I was listening to Sam Cooke before he went to rock and roll music, and my heart was just rejoicing, listening to those great hymns. And God spoke to me as audibly as you're sitting here and said, "You believe the doctor, Borden, you believe me." And we didn't even have a medical issue. There was no reason for him to say that in my world. And I think he was just looking for a response, because without thinking, I responded in this fashion. I said, "You're right, because they have a degree. You don't." Now, some of you may be offended by that, but God and I deal with each other on a different level. He's my father. He understands my heart. It doesn't mean I don't trust him, but I believe that he made me a man of order. And so I said to him, "That's right. You don't have a degree. And God doesn't have any degrees. He doesn't need them." I wasn't saying anything disrespectful. He asked me a question. "You believe them more than you believe me. Yes, they have degrees. You don't have a degree." And he let it go at that. He didn't say another word to me. Because you see, as we look at our belief system, because of authority and the authority of the doctor, here you have a man or a woman whom you do not know. You just visit. They don't live with you. They are not, in most cases, not your friend. They give you a piece of paper with pills or liquid that could kill you. And you willingly take it in. Never proved it. Don't even understand. Don't even know what's in it. "I need you to take 3 thermomitrosilins. Now, that's going to make you slightly drowsy. So in the morning, I'm going to give you crackacillin. And that'll give you energy for the morning." Now, here's the horrific statistic. In America, 230-some-odd million people in America, 50% of the population of America is on at least one prescription drug. Okay, that's bad enough. But here's the one that really blew me away. Of the 50% that's on one, 75% of the 50 are on 3 or more at one time and don't even know what they're taking. We don't even know. We don't want to know because we have faith in that person. God says, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee. By the stripes on Jesus' back, you are healed." But you can't believe that. Because he didn't give you a prescription and he didn't give you a pill. But you can believe the doctor who says, "Take this pill and it'll help you." You don't really know this person. Wouldn't it break your heart if you read later on in the Newsweek magazine that this person was impersonating a doctor? Now, you can't believe the God who has proven himself over the last 10,000 years, but you can believe somebody else whom you don't know, who doesn't live in you. Why? Evidence, authority, intuition, association. And tradition.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05415A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60. Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.